Upon Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Where do I go?
To turn to.
Who do I talk to?
Who do I talk to?
When
no one wants to listen, who do I lean on? When there's no foundation stable, I go to the rock I know that's able. I go to the rock.
I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the
stone that the builders rejected.
I run to the
mountains, and the mountain stands by me. The earth all around is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
Where do I
hide? Where do I hide till the storms have all passed over?
Where do I run to?
Where do I run to when the winds of sorrow threaten? Is there a refuge in the time of tribulation? When my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock.
I go to the rock
of my salvation.
I go to
the stone that the builders rejected.
I run to the
mountains, and the mountain stands by me. The earth all around is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
I go to the
rock of my salvation.
I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the
sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend,
I'm standing on the rock,
on the rock, on the rock of ages, safe from every storm,
from all
the storm that rages. Rich in love, I'm rich,
but not from
Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock.
I'm
standing on the solid rock.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, men. The male quartet became a trio. Brother Morrell is not here. Guys, if you'd asked me, I'd have stepped in and helped you out today, but for some reason or another, they didn't ask me. Let me remind you that beginning tomorrow evening, our youth conference, annual youth conference here at Trinity, will get underway, and we have an outstanding program this year, a lot of activities and outstanding speakers. And let me invite the church family to attend the evening services, and if you want to show up in the morning services, you're certainly welcome. Now, we invite you to come and support especially the evening services. There'll be two sermons every evening, and they'll be directed to young people. And if you're young of heart, if you're not an old codger with one foot in a grave and you don't care anymore, you probably wouldn't get anything out of it. But if you have a youthful spirit, okay, come. If you care about young people, come. If you want to be an encouragement, come. And I promise you, you'll go home blessed and excited and encouraged. This morning, I want you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 and Luke chapter 14. Acts chapter 11. I used these two verses just a week ago, or a few weeks ago, talking about being a Christian. But I want to use them again today and ask you a question. Acts chapter 11 and then Luke chapter 14. Stand out of love and respect for God's Word. And in Acts chapter 11, verse 25, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Now I want you to notice that statement. "And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Then, if you will, turn over to Luke chapter 14, and we'll begin to read in verse number 26. The Bible says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and the children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Look down in verse 33. "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." I want to ask you a question this morning. And by the way, just for your understanding, let me say that in verse number 26 of Luke 14, that is a comparative verse. And that verse simply means that our love for Jesus ought to be so great that when compared to our love for our mother and our fathers and our sons and our daughters and our sisters and brethren, our love for them almost appears to be hate as compared to our love for Christ. It is a comparative verse. But that's not what I want to major on. I want to major on the statement Christ said, he cannot be my disciple, or the word disciple. And I want to ask you a question. In Acts chapter 11, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The disciples. And I want to ask you this question this morning. Are you Christ's disciple? Are you Christ's disciple? Father, help me this morning as I stand here with the Word of God to preach this message. I need your help. Lord, I need your help because I want to make plain and clear to everyone here this simple message. I want to help people to go out of here knowing who they are and who they're following. Now, Lord, it may be that someone is here today without Christ as their Savior. They cannot say, "I know that I know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven." Yet they're here today because they know they don't want to go to hell. I'm asking you to save their soul today. Let this be that wonderful day that they can look back on for the rest of their life and eternity and remember when their sins were forgiven and they were born into the family of God. They became a child of God. And then, Father, there are those here today that have heavy burdens. I ask you to meet their needs, comfort their hearts, lift their burdens. There are people here today that love you and are seeking your direction about a church home. Lord, I pray that you might speak to their heart and open their hearts to understand who we are and what we stand for. And may they find a kindred spirit, a welcome spirit, a loving spirit that cares about people and wants people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we ask for your help. Fill me with thy Spirit. Help me to speak clearly and plainly, and I'll thank you in advance for what you shall do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When a person is called a disciple, it implies that that person has accepted in mind and life the views and the practices of a teacher. Many times we use this term and refer to the 12 apostles as the 12 disciples. Now there are many more disciples than just 12. In fact, there are hundreds and thousands of disciples referred to in the Scripture in the New Testament. But there are only 17 people in the New Testament that can be called, that is called an apostle. Now, remember that being a disciple implies the acceptance in mind and practice, the views and teachings of the teacher. Every one of us is someone's disciple. Every one of us is someone's disciple. You're following somebody. You've accepted somebody's teachings. Whose views are you accepting? Who guides your thinking and your practicing? Who is your teacher? Who do you follow as a Christian? All kinds of people try to tell you that they're followers of Christ. They're His disciples. Can you discern the difference between a true disciple of Christ and a fake and a fraud? I want to give you this morning four things that you can use to determine if an individual is truly a disciple of Jesus Christ. Anybody's disciple is and must be committed to a person. They must be a committed person. And Christ's disciples are committed to the following of four major things that I want to point out to you today. Number one, a disciple of Christ will be committed to Christ Himself. Christ Himself. Not to the world. Not to some other man, even if he's a preacher, but to Christ Himself. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There's a lot of people who call themselves a Christian and they live for themselves. They don't live for Jesus. And yet the first principle of being a disciple is to deny self and follow Jesus. We're to take up His cross and follow Jesus. Mark 6:1, the Bible says, and Jesus went out from thence and came unto His own country, and His disciples followed Him. They were committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now consider what it means to be committed. Webster says to be committed is to give oneself over to another, to entrust. That disciple says to the Lord Jesus, I'm trusting you from this day forth, not my will, but thine be done. A disciple is placed in one's custody. And we who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ have placed our life, our future, into His custody, His will. To be His disciple, Webster says, is to pledge oneself to a position and to a person. It means to surrender your all to follow Him. Have you surrendered your all to follow Jesus? Or do you just follow Him when it's convenient? If there's too many of your peers around, you join them instead of following Jesus. You don't come to his house unless it's convenient. Webster says to be committed is to obligate and bind oneself to another. Now, there's a big difference between involvement and committed. You know the old story about breakfast, ham and eggs. This morning as I sat down and ate my breakfast, I thought about this, and I said, I'll just use that. I sat down and ate my scrambled eggs and my bacon and sausage. Now, that chicken that laid that egg was involved in my breakfast. But that pig that made the sausage and bacon was committed to my breakfast. Are you just involved a little, or are you committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you are His disciple, you'll be committed to Christ Himself. He sits on the throne of your life. He is your first love. He has the place of preeminence in all things in your life. A disciple is committed to Christ Himself. Secondly, a disciple of Jesus Christ is committed to His book, the Bible. John 8:31 says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on Him, If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples. Are you continuing in the Word of God? You say, well, I don't really know whether I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Then you're not one of His disciples. A disciple of Christ is committed to Christ Himself, and he's committed to Christ's book, the Bible. Jesus said, if you don't continue in My Word, you're not one of My disciples. Now that word continue means you must get in the Bible. Are you in it regularly? You can't continue in the Bible until you get in it. You say, how do I get in it? Determine you're going to start. Dedicate a period of time in your day to Him. Don't say, if I've got any time left over, I'll read the book. You've got to make time. The problem some of you are having in your life is you're not making time for God. Now listen, you can't make more time. There's only 24 hours in a day. You can't make 24 hours and 30 minutes. You can't make time. Everybody, the disciples of Christ that are in the Word of God and continue in the Word of God, has the same amount of time that you have. But they make time for the Word of God. They dedicate a part of their day to spend it in the Word of God. And let me suggest you do something. Some people have trouble reading. I've had people say, well, I can't read it, I'm not a good reader. Others say, well, I'm dyslexic and I struggle over the Bible. Others say, I just can't understand it. The Bible was written on the level of a third to sixth grade person. If you can't understand it, then you've got greater problems. Okay? So let me suggest you do this. Get you a Bible on CD. Or a cassette tape. I don't have the CD. I still have the old cassettes. They worked. I listened to it this morning. While I was on my stationary bicycle, I listened to the entire book of Galatians. Make time for the Bible. Put your tape or CD on and open your Bible and follow the man as he reads it in your Bible. You're doing two things that'll help you. Number one, you're seeing the Word of God through your eye gate. You're hearing the Word of God through your ear gate. Now, to me, that's twice as good. That's in reinforcing your learning and your hearing. So, Get in the book. Jesus said, if you're my disciples, continue in the book. And that means there's got to be a time when you get in the book. Number two, stay in the book. That's what continue means. I promise you, I've not wasted 1/1,000th of a second wondering whether the Bible is the Word of God. Or which Bible is the Word of God. That's already been settled in my heart. God said it's already settled in heaven. He said He's preserved His Word, and it'd be good if you could know in your heart the Bible you read on earth is the same one He has in heaven. I don't know if God knows English. You're dumber than a rock. A disciple of Jesus Christ is committed to Christ Himself, and he's committed to Christ's book. Get in the book. Stay in the book. And then obey the book. Obey the book. Man, to spend time reading it and not obeying it is the highest form of hypocrisy. This is God's Word. This is not a novel written by a famous author. The one who wrote this book is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one to whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Get in the book. A disciple is committed to Christ Himself, and he's committed to Christ's book, the Bible. You know what this Bible about is about from Genesis to Revelation? It's about Jesus Christ. It's Jesus' book. Then Jesus said, when you get in the book, stay in the book, obey the book, then are you my disciples. Now consider some of the commands that are given in His book. There's the Great Commission, spoken 5 times in 5 different places at 5 different times to different groups of people, telling us that our primary work is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that word preach does not have the context of a preacher standing in the pulpit. It has the picture of Christians going everywhere, telling people about Jesus Christ. Do you do that? Jesus commanded us in His book to give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. You say, well, I don't like that command. You're not His disciple. Matthew 6:33. Jesus said, seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That means to put God first in your life and not worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. Put Christ first and those things will be added to you, He said. You spend too much time worrying about things and not committing yourself to the one who can bring things to pass in the right order in your life. God said, be ye holy as I am holy. The average Baptist spends all of his time trying to excuse and condone their sin and compromise instead of looking to Jesus and trying to pattern our life after Him. He didn't say, be ye smart like I'm smart. He didn't say be rich. He didn't say be the best looking or the most popular. He said be ye holy. And that word holy means godlike. Clean, pure. Be ye holy as I am holy. Another one of His commands in Christ's book for His disciples is forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That's in Hebrews. Chapter 10. That's a command. God's people are to be in God's house unless sick or providentially hindered. And He commands us to do so. If you're one of His disciples, you're going to take that command seriously because a disciple is committed to Christ Himself and we're committed to His book, the Bible. One more. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm amazed at Baptists that are condoning drinking alcoholic beverages today. God says, be not drunk with wine. You don't get your joy and excitement from fermented grape juice or fermented liquors. He said, be ye filled with the Spirit. There's where you know joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're commanded to do so. So a disciple of Jesus Christ is committed to Christ Himself. And he's committed to Christ's book. How you doing? Got a checklist? Say, man, I've got a check by that one. There's a question mark by the book thing. How you doing? Let's look at number three. A disciple of Christ will be committed to Christ's church and its ordinances. The Bible says in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and when he, Barnabas, had found him, that's the Apostle Paul, or Paul after he'd gotten saved, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, where did they assemble? The church, with the church. With the church. If you're Christ's disciple, His church has a prominent place in your life. You do know that the Bible says that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, so He died for the church. You read the epistles, and when God had His men to write letters, He addressed them to the church. And when Jesus Himself wrote letters in Revelation 2 and 3, He addressed them to His churches. So, He loved the church and gave Himself for it. He wrote letters to His church. When He's coming back again, guess who He's coming for? He's coming for His bride, the church of Jesus Christ. Now it seems to me if we're going to be His disciple, we must be committed to Christ Himself, we must be committed to Christ's book, and we must be committed to His church. Now let me hasten to say that not everything with a church sign up is His church. Oh, Satan has counterfeited everything. And just because a church once was His doesn't mean He's there now. He said, in some churches, He'd remove His candlestick. Be committed to a church, His church and its ordinances. A church that honors Christ. A church that works at getting people saved and teaches them and growing them. A church that's not there for entertainment's sake, but for worship's sake. For ministry's sake, for worldwide evangelism's sake. They assembled in the church. Which church? The church at Antioch, where the disciples were first called Christians. The church that sent out the first missionary to answer the call of worldwide evangelism to the Gentiles. A church where, the first church where Jew and Gentile met together. In Jesus Christ. Where did they assemble? With the church. Which church? The church at Antioch. What were the members of that church called? They were called disciples of Jesus Christ, and because they tried to pattern themselves after Christ, the enemies called them Christians. Christians. Are you one of His disciples? A disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ will be committed to His ordinances. His ordinances. There's two ordinances God has given to the church. The ordinance of baptism. Baptism is our public profession of faith in Christ right after we get saved. In Acts, the same day they were baptized. When we go into the baptistry and we're put under the water and raised up out of the water, it's a public proclamation that we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His life, death, and resurrection for our complete and eternal salvation. Every Christian is commanded after he gets saved to be baptized. Not before we're saved. And baptism here is immersion. The only Bible method of baptism is immersion in water of a believer, a person that has accepted Christ. That means they went down into the water, they were put under the water and raised up out of the water. That pictures death, burial, and resurrection. They were committed to the church and its ordinances. We work hard at trying to get people baptized as quickly as possible after they're saved. Some of you are here and you've never been baptized after you got saved. Why? Why? It's for Christ. It's the first command He gives to you and me after we're saved. How can you go any further in your Christian life when you're rebelling against the first thing He asks you to do in your Christian life? How can you proclaim Him to a needy world when you won't even proclaim Him by believers' baptism before a congregation of believers? Committed to it. Today, churches aren't committed to baptizing believers. Their baptistry is not in working order. If it is, they've got Christmas decorations stored in it. Bless God. Every service, our baptistry is filled, heated, and ready. There's been one service since I've been here that our baptistry was broke and we couldn't use it that Sunday. It grieved me all week long. It's only been 3 Sundays. In the 23 years I've been here as pastor, we haven't had people saved and baptized. 3 Sundays. Why? I'm committed to Christ. I'm committed to His book. I'm committed to His church and ordinances. How can we have church and ignore His ordinances? The first one is believer's baptism. That takes place one time right after we're saved as a public profession of faith. It's not sprinkling, it's not pouring. It's immersion in water of a believer. And you know the amazing thing, if you go back and read the comments of historians, whether they be Catholic or Presbyterian or Methodist or Lutheran, they'll all say the Bible method of baptism was immersion in water by a believer. Then why did they change it? Because they were not committed to the man, to his book, or to his church. Then the other ordinance is the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is a memorial. It's a remembering that it was by Jesus suffering and bleeding and dying on that old rugged cross that our salvation was purchased. He does not want us ever to forget what it cost God and Christ to purchase our free salvation. And a disciple will be committed to Christ Himself, to Christ's book, the Bible, and to Christ's church and its ordinances. You know, I didn't get up this morning and say to my wife, well, I got to go to church. No, I got up this morning, my alarm went off at 6:30, and I got up and got my coffee, did some exercises, got my Bible, went out on the porch, went over my Sunday school lesson and my sermon, did my exercises, rode my stationary bike, took my shower, got ready, and said, I'm getting to go to church this morning. Praise God, it's a privilege! A privilege! I want to be noted as one of His disciples. Let me tell you something else. I don't go to church because I love the buildings. Dear God, these buildings are a pain in the neck. To keep them up, keep them clean, keep the repairs fixed. It's a full-time job to just find the things that's broke so the people that can fix them. They're distractions. You know why I come to church? Because I love my Lord, I love His book, and I love His people. Now, believe it or not, as ornery as you are, and as cantankerous as I am, I love you. And I like to come to church and spend time with you. I really do. I really do. A disciple of Christ to be committed to Christ Himself, to His book, to His church and His ordinance. And fourthly and lastly, the disciple of Jesus Christ will be committed to bearing fruit for Christ. Well, the Bible says in John chapter 15, verse number 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciple." A disciple bears fruit for their Savior. You know what that bearing fruit means? It means we work hard at trying to win people to Jesus Christ. We work hard at trying to get people saved. Bible says He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we are His disciple, we ought to be committed to the work that He came to perform. You say, "Oh, preacher, I can't save anybody." No, and neither can I. But I can sure tell them about the one who can. And if we're His disciples, we're committed to bearing fruit. Will there be anybody in heaven because you told them about Jesus Christ? If I'm committed to Christ and His book, His church and ordinances, then I ought to be committed to the number one work that God expects every one of us to get involved in, and that is bearing fruit for Jesus. "Well, preacher, I just don't believe in going out and knocking doors." Then what's your plan? How are you doing getting people saved? Get a plan. If yours not working, try another one. Find one that works. If yours is working, wonderful. Stay at it. But quit criticizing other people's plan. You get one that works for you, that gets people saved and bear fruit for the Savior. So shall you be His disciple, the Bible says. Well, the Bible says, "By their fruits ye shall know them." John 15:6, the Bible says that He's chosen us and ordained us that we should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that our fruit might remain. By the way, the only thing that you produce in your entire Christian life that's going to live beyond death in eternity are those you win to Jesus Christ. You dedicate yourself to a business and have a little recession, it falls apart and you have to close it down. But recessions cannot take away the souls we've won to Jesus Christ. It's fruit that remains. You see, John 15:8 lets us know by the fruit we bear, we're declaring whose disciples we are. Let me conclude. Whose disciple are you? Are you committed to Christ? Can you check that? Or is there a next there? Are you committed to His book? Can you check that? Or is there a next there? Are you committed to His church and His ordinances? If you are, you'll attend faithfully. Is there a check there or is it an X? Are you bearing fruit for Christ or no fruit? Is there a check there or is there an X? Have you passed the test of discipleship or have you flunked? Whose disciple are you? It seems to me that if we call ourselves Christians, we ought to work hard at being committed to Christ, His book, his church in ordinances and bearing fruit to him. These four things ought to be an unmistakable part of our life if we are Christ's disciple. Are you? Be good if there's an X by one of these four things, that you find a place at an altar and say, God, I've neglected this. And I want to promise you that I'm going to get right in this area of my life. I want to be known as your disciple. You see, it's important to God how the world looks at you. The world looked at the disciples at Antioch and called them Christians because they were so much like Christ. Are you one of his disciples? Are you committed to him? Are you committed to his book? Are you committed to his church and ordinances? Are you committed to bearing fruit for Christ? We ought to be. We're going to give an invitation. And that invitation is going to be for several reasons. Number one, if you're here today and unsaved, if you'll come today, we'll take the Scripture and show you how to be saved. Your new life in Christ can begin this morning, and it'll last forever. Number two, if you're saved and you're not in church, you can come today and become a part of this church and begin to serve Him here. We'll receive you like this church receives members. If you're sincere and believe this is where Christ wants you, then you ought to be willing to come the way this church is determined in the Scripture to receive members. Number three, if you're a Christian and Christ is not preeminent in your life, you're not committed to Him, or you're not committed to His book, you don't make time for it, you're not committed to His church and His ordinances, or you're not committed to bearing fruit, then you ought to come this morning and find a place at an altar and get these things right with God. You say, what do you mean? What should I do? First of all, you ought to acknowledge to God you've neglected this area of your Christian life. You ought to call it what it is, sin, and ask Him to forgive you. Secondly, you ought to commit yourself to God to put these things in the right place in your life, to make time for them so that you can be called His disciple. One of these days, we're going to stand before Him, and His books are going to be open. And He's going to judge us out of the things He's written in His book, whether they be good or bad. I want that day for the Lord to look up and say, well done, Bob. You've been one of my disciples. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. I don't want to go to heaven regretting all of the things I chose to neglect about the Christian life. I want to go to heaven having given Him His rightful place in my life. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for teaching us and instructing us and helping us to grow and learn so that we can become more like You and even grow to that place where we can be called Your disciple. I ask You, Lord Jesus, to speak to every heart here. We thank You for our guests and our visitors. We don't know the condition of their eternal soul. Lord, if they're unsaved this morning, would You speak to their heart and help them to understand their greatest need in this life is to know that they know that they know they're saved. And they can settle that this morning by coming and letting us show them in the Bible how they can be saved and know it today and from now on. And then there are some here, Heavenly Father, that need to follow You in believers' baptism. Help them to lay aside